Yesterday was an interesting day in life because it was the opportunity to be able to encounter God in a new and a fresh and amazing way. And Cindy was teaching a ladies' Bible study here at church, and she'd asked me to pray for her. And so I was praying for her and asking the Lord to work in the hearts of the ladies who were part of that study and make it a special time. And as I was sitting there studying, I was getting ready also for lots of different things I needed to do that needed to be taken care of. And my phone beeped, and out of my phone there was a message from a pastor in Pakistan, and he said, "You know, I have an old man here with me. Is there any possibility you'd pray for him because he's facing a great challenge?" And I said, "Well, you know what? I'm happy to do that because I'm sitting here at my desk." And so we Skyped into Pakistan, and I began to interact with this man and began to talk to him about what he was facing. And it's very interesting because he was facing a diagnosis that wouldn't allow medicine to remedy it. And the only way he could move through what it is he was facing was for there to be an intervention by Jesus. And somehow in his mind and heart, he had heard that through this young Pakistani pastor that there was an American pastor who prayed and believed and trusted that God does great things. And so I ended up this prayer time with this Pakistani man. His name is Joseph. I said, "Well, you know, you have a great name because you have a name that obviously connects into biblical history." And we began to converse and began, and I began to watch after we prayed, and out of the sadness of his face came this great joy that as I asked him the question, "Do you believe Jesus can watch over and guide you and help you and physically meet your need?" And it's interesting because his response was, "Yes. Yes." And see, what happened sometimes, he was defeated in those moments because he was overwhelmed by what he was facing. He had walked from one village to another village in Pakistan to find this young pastor because the young pastor had told him, "Hey, you know what? I know there's a pastor in America who prays for people. He could pray for you." So he woke up on Saturday morning and thought, "You know what? I'm walking to that village." He starts walking to that village, and I had no idea. I was just studying the Bible, getting ready for what it is that God has in store for me. I had no idea that moment would come where it would unfold, where I looked into Joseph's eyes through a video phone. And it's interesting because when it was all said and done, the young pastor and Joseph, they both looked at me and said, "We want you to come to Pakistan." And my immediate response was, "I'm not coming to Pakistan. I'm American." And as we were visiting and sharing, it just reminded me that we all are given divine moments. So I want you to think about this in light of what happens with Joshua. Because today I want you to think about something. Sometimes we rebound out of a most difficult adversity to experience the most amazing affirmation. Sometimes we go through something that's really, really challenging, and out of that challenge comes something that's so affirming that we understand that God has something in store for us that is absolutely amazing, powerful, and transformational. And that's what happens with Joshua, okay? So I want you to think about this for a moment. Here's Joshua. He's just like Joseph in Pakistan. He is overwhelmed by the fact that those who he is leading, His circumstances cause him to think the only thing he can get out of this is defeat. But out of that adversity, all of a sudden, Joshua began to realize something. And I want you to think of this for a moment. There is no doubt that when the heap of stones were put on top of Achan, in fact, when you read it, you see it so clearly. When you see what transpires there in verse 25 of chapter 7, I want you to follow me today because I want to show you something systematically that leads us to the experience of understanding how to embrace his heart. Because here's what I want you to realize. And no matter how adverse our circumstances are, when we embrace him beyond our adversity, he becomes the affirmation that we need the most. And everyone here at times encounters things. It may not be, by the way, it may not be the walls of Jericho. It may not be the River Jordan. It may just be a situation or a circumstance where we're overwhelmed by what it is we're facing. And look, if you would, in Joshua chapter 7, because I want to show you what transpires. Verse 25. Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones. They burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that stand to this day. And the Lord turned. Watch this. This is so important to see. "And the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. So, think about this for a second. They have just seen the judgment of God because they chose to be simply disobedient over something they had been clear instruction about. All right? And out of that clear instruction, they feel and experience the fierceness of the anger of God at work in their lives. And you know what? We're in big trouble. And it's there where Joshua goes almost into depression. Like, why are we here? Why do we do this? Why do we make this choice? And then you get to chapter 8. And it's interesting because in chapter 8, you see what transpires. And today I want you to think about your own life, because I want you to think about this question. How do you rebound from a challenge? How do you rebound from a challenge in life? My wife and I, we've been watching some of the NCAA basketball games and stuff, and it's interesting because as you watch these teams play and stuff, some play with a level of aggression that you know that they're destined to win, but they don't always win. Sometimes they lose. And we watched that last night where one team thought they were going to win, they didn't. Another team thought they were going to win, and they didn't. And what I want you to think about today in light of your life is this. What happens when you face a challenge? Do you rebound immediately, or do you get set back in such a way that it becomes more and more challenging for you to be able to move forward the way God intended? So as you think about that, I want you to think about one simple concept, because this is the concept I want you to echo throughout this entire message. Defeat that they experienced drove them to desperation, which opened the door to divine direction. In other words, they got defeated, and it made them desperate. Joshua starts crying out to God, and out of that desperation, God begins to show them and give them divine direction that leads them to an amazing and powerful experience. So I want you to think about this. I want to show you conceptually what transpired. First of all, they have a recognition that they need God at work in their life because they can't move without that. They have a recognition that they have sinned. They've made a choice that's disobedient. That recognition, when you recognize it, something begins to happen inside of who you are. So out of that recognition, they repented. They chose to move away from what it was that was transpiring. Their repentance opened the door for them to encounter and experience what God intended for them. And out of that repentance came redirection. All right? So I want you to think about in your own life, when you recognize what it is that you need and what it is you've done and what it is He wants to do through you, and all of a sudden you go, Lord, wait a minute now, maybe I need to do this a different way. And then out of that recognition, you choose to repent and say, Lord, I don't want to think that way. I don't want to respond that way. I don't want to act that way. And by the way, we sometimes think of repentance only connected to our most blatant sin. The truth of the matter is, a repentant heart is one that's sensitized to the things that matter the most in life. And so if we say the wrong thing, or we think the wrong thought, or we move in the wrong direction, all of a sudden, God becomes a part of our story, and we start moving in the right direction because we repent of what it is that can cost us everything. And then God redirects our life. So in Joshua chapter 8, remember, we're watching the unfolding of a faithful story. And what is our theme throughout this time of season inside of God's Word? Learning to be faithful to God no matter what. Learning how to be courageous and confident and being willing to take on anything that comes at us. So today, as you think about your own journey of faith, how courageous are you to go, you know what, that's who I want to be. That's who I want God to be inside of me. That's how I want to live. Because here's what you're going to discover. Joshua could have easily said, I have 100 excuses. But instead, he repented. Instead, he sought God. And when the fierceness of the anger of the Lord moved away from him, you find yourself arriving at chapter 8 and verse 1. Notice what happened. Now, the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king just as you did to Jericho and its king. You shall take only its spoil and its cattle as plunder for yourself. Set an ambush for the city behind it. Then look on, if you would, to verse 10. And we're going to come back to this story. We'll make sure we understand it. Verse 10. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, mustered the people, and he went up to the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. Then look on, if you would, over to verse 18. Because I want to just show you how this. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Stretch out the javelin that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand." So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand towards the city. Look down at verse 30 very quickly, because notice what happened. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, and an altar of uncut stones, which no man had wielded an iron tool to. They offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And then it goes on to talk about what he did. And I'll show you that at the end of our message, all right? So here's what transpired. Think about this for a minute. Here's a moment where defeat has taken a lot of their direction, and they don't know which way to respond. All of a sudden, they begin to encounter God in a new and fresh and amazing way, and that encounter begins to energize them. And it's interesting because the Lord shows up, and it's interesting because you realize that he has the same message for Joshua over and over and over again. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Now, I want you to think about this in light of your own life. What happens when we fear? What happens when we get discouraged? We miss the best things in life. We allow those things to get in our way, to take the best away from us. And so the Lord said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And what I want you to see is I want you to see three very distinctive things that are so key to our journey of faith, so key to us becoming who he wants us to be. And the first one is this: you have to listen to the right voice. Because Joshua, out of all of his anguish and his heartache and his pain, out of all of that came a word that, and I'm going to tell you, can you imagine how lonely it was watching what transpired because God's people did not obey? And then, out of that loneliness, the Lord shows up and speaks. Why do you think it's so important for us to stay inside of God's Word? Why do we live inside of the Bible? Why do we allow the Bible to speak to it? Why do we encounter him inside of the Word? Because watch this. In our loneliest night and our most difficult moment, his Word becomes a light to us, becomes a lamp to us. It becomes a direction to us. And I want you to think about this for a moment. How could we ever be dependent on him if we never read his instruction book? How could we ever experience what he intended for us if we instead yielded to something so much less? And you're going to see this, by the way, in chapter 8, because when Joshua experiences victory, he brings the people together and he says to them, he tells them everything Moses had commanded that had come straight from God. And you'll see the word all. And here's what I want you to keep in mind. When it comes to what he wants from us, he wants us all. He wants not part of our life. He wants all of our life. And the way we do that is we learn how to listen to the right voice, okay? And so here in verses 1 and 2, the Lord comes and says, you know what? I'm going to give all this to you. Now remember, they had just been defeated. They'd just been beat. They had just lost at Ai. They lost at Ai because they underestimated the enemy. Watch this. And underestimated himself. And overestimated himself. They underestimated the enemy, overestimated himself. So you know what? We're not going to take this thing. We can win this without. We can even win this. Watch this. In chapter 7, they believed they could win it without the counsel of God. How many times do we find ourselves taking the wrong job because we don't have the right counsel? Making the wrong decision because we don't have the right counsel? Going at something that will cost us everything because we don't have the right counsel? What would happen today if all of a sudden you and I said, I'm not moving unless he speaks. I'm not taking that next step unless he speaks to my heart and life. I want to challenge you to think about your own journey of faith. What would happen? I'll tell you what happened. You'd start listening to his voice, the right voice, in the most distinctive way. And so how do we do that? We learn how to distinguish by wisdom the absolutely distinguishable voice of the Lord. And let me tell you what Joshua, when the Lord spoke, he knew it. He knew it was him. And let me tell you, when you hear the Lord speak, you know it's him speaking into your heart and life. And he begins to direct you. He begins to encourage you. And I want you to think about this in light of our own lives. How many times have we listened to the wrong voice? The wrong voice. For example, a voice that said going to church is not that important. You can do what you want to do. I drive out of my neighborhood every week, and I always think about how many people sit in their homes, blessed, but not aware that what each one of us has an opportunity to do is give account for our lives. At the end of our story, at the end of our journey, when we are finished, we all have an accounting for what it is we have chosen to do, how we've chosen to live. And listen carefully. If you don't have the wisdom to distinguish His voice, you will hear all the chatter of the world that we live in. And the world is full of chatter. Full of chatter. And so I want to encourage you to think about your own journey of faith and make a decision. Make a decision. Say, you know what? I'm listening to the right voice. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Just because a voice is loud does not mean it's God's. Oftentimes, the loud voices of the world drown out the still small voice of the one who speaks to our hearts and our souls. And my encouragement to you is think about this for a second. In this very room are people whose mothers and fathers, whose grandparents, they weren't born into some giant blessing. They were born into the kingdom of God by placing their faith in Jesus, listening to the voice of God, to the voice of the Lord speaking to them. And I want to tell you, I want to challenge you to think about this. Important, how important it is that you and I listen to the right voice. But in verse 3, they begin to see, you'll notice in verse 3, it says, Joshua rose up with all the people of war to go up to Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out at night. Now, can you imagine? They don't get a daytime experience. They get to go out at night. All right, I want you guys to go to these places you're supposed to go. And verse 4, he commanded him, saying, see, you're going to ambush the city from behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city, and when they come out to meet us at the first, we will flee before them. They will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say, they are fleeing before us at the first. So we will flee before them. And you shall rise from your ambush and take possession of the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And you'll notice the very last part of verse 9. So Joshua, in fact, look at the whole verse. So Joshua sent them away. They went to the place of ambush and remained between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua spent the night among the people. So it shows you that all of a sudden, he gets instruction from God and he challenges every leader to take position and where they're supposed to be. And he begins to tell them, this is what we're going to do. You're going to go here, and I'm going to be with you all the time. And isn't it interesting to know that you and I know that God's with us all the time? He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And so Joshua says to him, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be carrying this javelin, and I'm going to be in charge of everything we do, and you just listen to what I'm saying, because I'm going to tell you what God's told me to do. You go for it. And as a result of that, they end up experiencing amazing victory. But I want you to think about this for a moment. In that night, they had to ponder what had transpired in light of all the choices that had been made by Achan and his family. They had to ponder what had happened when the Lord was not pleased with what transpired there. And then out of that, Joshua challenges every leader, you go where I tell you to go, get in that spot, and experience exactly what God intends for you to do. And he challenges them. And I'm going to ask you a question, because this is really application. What position does he have for you? Excuse me. Where does he want you to be? What does he want to do through you? What is your position? What is your place? And by the way, I'm not talking about a title. I'm talking about an opportunity. Because our opportunities are all centered in our obedience as we say, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Which step do you want me to take? Where do you want me to go? And he challenges them to get in the right position. My challenge for you is to think about yourself. What kind of position does he want you to do? Because watch this. Instructions that are given by God always led to an affirmation from God. And when God starts giving instruction, there's a reason for that. He gives all these instructions. That's why by the time you get to the end of chapter 8, Joshua is affirming what had transpired with Abraham hundreds of years before. This is what we're supposed to do. This is why we're supposed to do it. We're going to do it just like God instructed. And he even etches on stone the very things that they had learned, the Ten Commandments they had learned, instruction and say, you know, this is who we're going to be. This is how we're going to live. This is our story. And so today, as you think about your own life, what happened? What happens if you start listening to the right voice, and then all of a sudden, God tells you, this is what I want you to do. This is the position I want you to be in. This is where I want you to live. This is how I want you to act. Listen, for example, none of us are in Atlanta, Georgia by accident. We're not in Norcross this morning by accident. God has positioned us to experience what he intends for our life. And what happened with Joshua, he said, you know what? Everybody go where they're supposed to go. And listen carefully. If everybody lined up where God intended them to be, we would transform the world because everyone would be experiencing what God intended for their life. But you see this in this story. What's great about this redemptive story is that they had come out of the most difficult moment. They rebounded out of that. Watch this. Their defeat led them to desperately seek God. And when they got desperate, they began to hear him speak. And when he spoke, he gave divine direction for them that would lead them to victory, which, by the way, they're not going to experience what happened to Ai again. They are going to experience the most amazing things because they began and learned to listen to the right voice. And when they listen to that right voice, something begins to happen inside of what's transpiring. And all of a sudden, they start getting in the right position, and God begins to work in a profound way. And my wife and I, we have this joy of being connected to five little grandchildren, and they don't always listen to your voice. I mean, sometimes they are, and my wife and I, we try to teach our children when they were little, you always listen to the voice that speaks to you. And so the other day, one of our grandchildren, I won't mention which one, was not behaving, and so I just looked at the grandchild, and I said, I think it's time for you to listen to my voice. Kids straighten up like that. And, of course, that frustrates a parent, but the reality is it's a different voice speaking into that heart of that child. And all of a sudden, the child realized, you know what, I don't think I can get away with what it is I was thinking about getting away with because it's a different voice. Listen carefully. The distinguishable voice of God that gives you and speaks to your heart and gives you direction is the very same voice that puts you in the right place to do the right thing, to experience what God intended. Wouldn't it be awesome if we experienced everything God intended for our life? Do you want to miss anything that he has for you? Do you want to miss any experience that he has in store for your life? You don't want to miss any of that. You don't want to miss any of that. And so he ends up getting the right voice speaking to him. They get in the right position. And then in verse 11, the third thing transpired. And that is, all of a sudden, you have to start looking beyond your eyes to a greater plan. Because what you see may be limited. What he sees is perfect. All right? So look what transpired. Verse 10. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, mustered the people. Now I want you to imagine how he woke them up. Can you imagine? Joshua walked through and said, all right, I want everybody to step it up right now. I want everybody to move forward right now. And mustered something completely amazing, because there was alignment because he said, you know what, this is not just some guy walking through, this is God's man speaking to you saying, do this, go for this, move forward. And he mustered him, he says, and he went up with the elders of Israel before the people at Ai, and all the people of war who with him went up and drew near and arrived in front of the city and camped on the north side of Ai. And there was a valley between him and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. So they stationed the people, all the army that was on the north side of the city, and its rear guard on the west side of the city, and Joshua spent the night in the midst of the valley. And it came about when the king of Ai, watch this, saw it, that the men of the city hurried, rose up early, and went out to meet Israel in battle, he and all his people at the appointed place before the desert plain. But he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel, watch this, pretended to be beaten before them and fled by the way at the wilderness. And all the people who were in the city were called together to pursue them. And they pursued Joshua and were drawn away from the city. Watch this, and this is so interesting. Verse 17, so not a man was left in Ai or Bethel who had not gone out after Israel. And they left the city unguarded and pursued Israel. And then the Lord said, notice this verse, then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out your javelin that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. Can you imagine for a moment? Think about this for a second. All of a sudden, Joshua begins to see something beyond what his eyes see. Because here's what their eyes saw. Their eyes saw 5,000 people sitting in a valley that are going to be defeated by all the people coming out of Ai and Bethel. They gather together and say, you know, we're going to take you out. And every one of them lines up thinking they're going to get. And you know what's interesting too? They know Joshua's in the midst of them. They know if they take Joshua out, they've stopped the whole movement. The people of God no longer have a promised land. the leader is gone, they're going to be knocked out completely. And you can imagine Joshua is there with that javelin, and they begin to move away, and all the people begin to pursue. And it's interesting because all they're doing is setting the stage for one of the most climactic and amazing victories they ever had. And it was all because they listened to God's instruction. It is all because they looked beyond what their eyes could see. Listen, you want to have a great plan that comes from God? You want a great plan for your life that matters? You want to see something happen in your life that only God can do? You want to encounter Him in new and fresh and amazing ways? Look beyond what you see. See something bigger, something more powerful. On Friday night, I had a chance to be out with Levi. We were out just grandfather and grandson, and we were out, and he was climbing this rock wall out at Jones Bridge Park, and he's climbing up the wall. He said, "I'm going to get that boy." And I said, "What boy are you going to get?" "That boy right there." And I said, "Well, why are you going to get him?" He said, "Well, he's ahead of me. I want to get him." And I said, "Well, Levi, I don't think you ought to get that boy because he's bigger than you." And he looked at me, he's like, "He is bigger than me. Why would I get that boy?" And we end this whole conversation, and I'm watching him because here's what's transpiring. He's realizing something. Just because you think you can get that big boy don't mean you can. And I'm going to tell you what happened with the king of Ai. He thought he had Joshua and everybody else. He thought they were climbing the rock wall of the wilderness as they were running away from Ai. And I want you to imagine how stunned they were when all of a sudden, Joshua lifts up that javelin. What do the people see? They see that king of Ai turns around and sees the city being plundered. And he doesn't know what to do because he realized they have left it indefensible because everyone has fled. Everyone is chased after that. And here's what I want you to see. You want to keep your life defensible? You keep the Lord in the center of everything. You keep Him as the one who orders your steps. You keep Him as the one who numbers your day. You keep the one who speaks into your heart in an amazing and powerful way. Listen carefully. Our journey of faith is all linked to how our hearts connect to Him. Our journey of faith is yielding to Him in the most profound and powerful way because what? He starts giving us divine direction. He starts speaking to it. Listen, lift your heart up to Him and you experience His blessing. Lift your heart up and listen carefully. What made Joshua effective, what allowed him to experience what God intended was he opened his heart up to Him. He said, "Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want you to guide me." Listen, what would happen to all of us if all of a sudden we began to say to God, "Lord, open up my heart. Open up what it is you have for me. Let me experience what it is you intend for me. Let me not miss what it is you want to do inside of my journey. Take me to where you want me to be." I'll tell you what happened. You start listening to that voice and something begins to happen that is profound and powerful. So what transpires? They win. The king dies. There's another heap of stones that are placed over that king because he is killed. Joshua hangs him by the tree for one day, puts him on a stone. They put him there, and they say, "Okay, this shows you what happens when you come up against God's people, up against God's kingdom. You come up against God's plan." And as a result of that, when you get to verse 30, something amazing begins to happen. And I want to set this just in motion so because this really helps you understand why the month of April is important for us to move forward by faith, how important it is that we understand that God has a destined plan for us. And I was doing some research that was in preparation for what we're going to be doing during the month of April. And it's going to be an exciting month for us, the church family, because we're going to be able to see what it is God has done, what He's going to do. And I started thinking through 1872. That's a year that no one in this room experienced. But you experienced the affirmation of their faith by sitting in a room that launched into a church that ended up being birthed here in Norcross. Then out of that, 2005, another group of believers birthed into a fellowship. And I started looking at these stories and I was thinking, wow, 1872, 2005, 2019, the story unfolds in such an amazing way. So I want to show you what transpired because in verse 30 of chapter 8, all of a sudden Joshua calls people together. He builds an altar. He wants them to give a sacrifice. He wants them to come together and hear God's word. And he wants to make sure they don't miss any of the instruction. They want to make sure they experience everything that God intended. So look, if you would, just for a moment, turn in your Bible back to Genesis chapter 12. I want to show you something that is, it is so profound, because when I think about what transpired in 1872, when a group of people formulated and said, we're gonna be a church, and we're gonna be the First Baptist Church of Norcross, and we're gonna work through all this. Then I think about 2005, when God brought a small group of people together and said, you know what, we're gonna be a church, we're gonna be One Heart Church. And I start thinking, you know, all of God's timing is perfectly laid out. So look, if you would, back to Genesis chapter 12. Look, if you would, because I want you to grab hold of something that transpires here. Genesis chapter 12, and let's begin, if we could, a reading in verse 6. Genesis 12, verse 6. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. All right, so it's possessed by the enemy. All right. The Lord, watch this. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there, watch this, to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Abram journeyed on, continuing towards the Negev. He stopped and built an altar because he knew there was a promise that was coming. Here's the question. 800 years passed between an altar at Ai and a victory at Ai. 800 years passed. And here's what I want you to see. We are all destined together to accomplish His purpose in this generation. We are a product of the faithfulness of other people in other generation. It brings us all together to see, you know what? We can move forward by faith. We can fulfill the vision God has for us. And that's exactly where we're going to go as we look at this next month. We're going to see what it is God has done. We're going to see His faithfulness. We're going to see His promise. We're going to see His provision for us. We're going to see what transpired, because all of a sudden they open up this altar in chapter 8, and you'll notice what happens in verse 35. You can't miss this, and I would encourage you to circle the word all. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. And we know who one of those distinctive strangers was who chose to follow the Lord instead of the wickedness of the world she lived in, and her name was Rahab. And if you look at the lineage of Jesus, you realize something. Anybody can connect into God's purpose if they surrender their hearts to Him, if they are willing to commit their heart to accomplishing what God intended. So let's take one more moment before we finish today, because I want you to get this in mind, because I want you to think about this for a second. But listen to the right voice, get the right direction, look beyond what I see. All of a sudden, I think, wait a minute, so that promise held on to? I glanced at the pages written in 1872 last week. I looked at the pages inside of a notebook written by people whose handwriting still evidences the witness of what it is they want to try to accomplish in this town and beyond. I guarantee you no one in 1872 realized that this beautiful room would be here. They never realized it would be a beautiful place to assemble. They never realized that every single day little kiddos would come into the academy. They never realized that we would watch children and others come to know Christ. They never realized that baptistry would bring people to an awareness of their relationship to God. But what happened? What happened? They were faithful. They were faithful. And their faithfulness allowed us to experience exactly what God needs. So if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Just turn one more text. You have to get a complete thought here in order to ensure that you walk out of church with very clear awareness of what I'm trying to get across. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Because I want you to see what transpires as Moses brings them together to give them instruction. Look, if you would, beginning in verse 1. All right? So remember now, who is hanging out with Moses? Joshua. All right? So remember, wherever Moses goes, Joshua goes. Listen to what he said. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today, so it shall be on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall set up, watch this, you can't miss this, set up for yourself large stones and coat them with lime and write on them all the words of the law when you cross over, so that you may enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. So it shall be when you cross the Jordan, you shall set up on Mount Ebal these stones, as I'm commanding you today, and you shall coat them with lime. Moreover, verse 5, You shall build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. Watch this. You shall not wield an iron tool to them. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer on it burnt offerings to the Lord your God, and you shall sacrifice peace offering and eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God, and you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very distinctly. And then Moses said to the Levitical priests and spoke to all Israel, saying, "Be silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become a people for the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the Lord your God and do his commandment and his statutes, which I command you today." All right, so think about this. Abraham heard God say, the day will come 800 years later, and this is going to be your story. Out of that 800-year journey, Moses leads the people on the one side of the wilderness and says to them, look, when you get to Mount Ebal, when you get past Ai, when you get to the place where God wants you to be, when you are positioned to experience everything he intended, listen, do not surrender your life to something less than what God wants to do. Do not say, I'm going to do it my way. You say, I'll do it God's way, because God's way takes you places you can never go yourself. And you say before the Lord, I surrender to him exactly what it is he wants to do. And when you start living that way, here's what happened. You start finding yourself at the altar of uncut stone, and you start hanging on the promises written to us so many years before. You see, Joshua understood something. If he obeyed, he would experience God's best. If he surrendered, he would encounter God in a new and fresh and amazing way. And here is what I want to challenge you to think about. A simple question. Are you willing to get on track with what it is that God wants to do in you? Because the truth of the matter is, we can corporately say, oh, we're all going to do these different things. We're all going to surrender these different ways. Listen, you have to get on track yourself. You got to rebound out of whatever it is you encounter. And you got to say, you know what? I'm not going to be defeated by that. I'm not going to be overwhelmed by that. I'm going to surrender myself to something so much bigger. When I was in Ukraine a few weeks ago, I was with an interpreter who was sick the whole time. And she kept coughing on me. And I kept saying to her, stop that. You're going to get me sick. But she got me sick. And it's been challenging. I've dealt with it for X number of days and feel a lot better now. But if you notice, it's the first Sunday in several weeks I didn't take a drink while I'm speaking. I mean, a drink of apple juice, I should clarify. And I sat there thinking today, as we were singing these songs, My Jesus, I Love You, I Will Rise, all these different songs, they all reminded me that we don't know what things come at us. And I'll be honest with you, that cold beat me up. But I realized the truth of the matter is it was so minimal compared to the big challenges that life really offers each one of us. What would happen today if everyone here took their little things that get in their way and said, you know what, I'm going to do the big thing that God has for me. I'm going to experience what he intends to do through me. I'll tell you what happened. Our lives would be a living testimony to anyone who encounters it, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. That's my challenge to you today. And I want to challenge you to think about this. If you embrace his heart, if you embrace the heart of God, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. No AI will get the best of you. No AI will defeat you. You'll encounter him in an amazing way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. It speaks to our lives. I think about in this building, there's so many people who their desire is simply this, to obey you no matter what. And it could be there's someone here who needs to surrender their life to you, to serve you and follow you. And maybe there's someone here who needs to say yes to what your plan is. Maybe someone here who has been defeated and needs victory. Maybe someone here who needs to invest their life in this fellowship, not because they have to, but because they want to. Lord, as I think about that, I pray this invitation would speak to hearts and lives. If there's any man, any woman, any student, any boy or girl who's saying yes to God's best plan for their life, may they surrender that and experience you. Bless us as we respond to you in Christ's name. Amen.